Welcome to the Weekly Brew, presented by the MSC Reporter. Here's your host, Kevin Corbell.
Hello, guys. Welcome. You're listening to the very first installment of the Weekly Brew, presented by the MSU Reporter. Today is November 3rd, 2017. It is currently 9 a.m. Central Time. My name is Kevin Corbell, your host. This is my very first podcast ever. In fact, this is the first time I've ever recorded myself saying things for fun. From our listeners out there that will be listening to this once I put it on the web, you have no idea what the show is or even what it's about. This is a show mainly about sports.
Sports.
I wouldn't say sports would be all that we talk about on a weekly basis, but I'd say about 95% of what we talk about on the air will be sports related, one way or another. Whether it's pro sports, whether it's college sports like Minnesota State University sports, or even, heck, high school related, elementary, preschool sports. If it's a story and if it's interesting and if people want to listen to it, I want to talk about it. Well, I talked about it, talked about it, talked about it, talked about it. Anything's on the table for this show. If it's a sport, I'd love to talk about it. If it's fun, if it's edgy, makes me laugh or think or do anything. I want to try anything for this show. I want to talk about what's going around in the world today from a sports perspective and from a college student perspective. I'm a junior here at Minnesota State University, and I love to provide my own input about worldwide concepts and news. I hope everyone that's currently listening right now keeps following the show, because we're about to have a good time in this show. Basically, this show I love doing in the morning because, one, that means I get to brew up some coffee. Today, I brewed up some, well, I kind of lied. I didn't brew it up, but I'm in the MSU Reporter office, and they have treated me to some pumpkin pie cappuccino. Yeah, the weekly brew, so basically, I'll be sipping on something for about an hour on the show, talking about nonsense, talking about facts that are mainly true. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I hope not to talk about myself the whole time. If I want to talk about myself the whole time, I'd call it the Kevin Corbell Show. Instead, without further ado, we're going to talk about the first topic ever on this show. Our first topic is what I like to call peeking around the bush.
Bush.
No, it is not presented by Bush Light, unfortunately. Maybe if the show goes mainstream? Yeah, maybe. And it is not one of those weird stalkerish type segments. I don't want to enforce creeping or anything like that. But it's called Peek Around the Bush. It's looking at MSU sports, which looks at all the top headlines from Minnesota State Athletics and keep you updated on how each sport has looked so far this season. Our first sport we're going to talk about is football. Football. So, MSU Maverick football team last year finished 8-3. Didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, usually for an 8-3 team, 8-3 looks hella good for their record. I know the Vikings would love to be 8-3 within the next couple of weeks going into the playoffs, hopefully. Yeah, they're usually expected to go 11-0, and last year they didn't do it. I used to work for the Mavericks last year as a film coordinator, actually, for practices and football games. And if I learned anything from last year is that they have definitely one of the best winning mentalities I've ever seen from a football team. That's even including, like, my years in high school sports. They've made huge upgrades on both sides of the ball. Offense, defense. Coach Todd Hofner is coaching a really good team this year. That's all I got to say. This is the most talented team he's ever had since his second stint coming back. They're 9-0 on the season, and they just recently got turned number one in the D2 coaching poll, which is really great for that team because they deserve it. They're fresh off a big win against the then undefeated Winona State. They beat them on our home field, the Blake. The Maverick football team is just a very special group this year. With that being said, I want to bring a brief shout out to all the coaches on the staff, especially Coach Capitani, who is one of the wide receiver coaches on the team and also helped me get a job with the football team last year. Coach, if you're listening, I hope that you guys have a good rest of your year and just keep on rolling. I hope the team finally gets what they've been craving for some years now, and that's a championship title. So good luck out there. Now let's go to men's hockey. Men's hockey, they're ranked number 9 in college hockey right now. They are 5-2 and 0 headed into this weekend's showdown against Northern Michigan. Mike Hastings is looking to make this year a year to remember. Last year, they didn't finish the way they wanted to. So hopefully they have a good rest of their year. Every year, it seems like they're always fighting to the finish, but this year has to be something different. They got to do everything they need to win every game that they can, because they're facing teams that are very competitive in this league, as in St. Cloud. They're not facing this year, but the U of M, they'll be facing just Bowling Green's been pretty tough this year, too. So 5-2 is really good for this team. I hope that they keep going. Just stay competitive out there, guys. Now on to men's basketball. Men's basketball, they don't start the regular season until November 10th in Pittsburgh, Kansas, against Pittsburgh State. Until then, not too much news to talk about them. Now on to wrestling. Minnesota State enters the 2017-2018 season in a tie for third in the Northern Southern Intercollegiate Conference, and are also in a tie for 16th in D2 preseason poll. The Minnesota State wrestling team is ready to begin its season at the RCTC Yellow Jacket. Open this Saturday is in Rochester, Minnesota. So if you guys have any travel plans for this weekend, head up to Rochester to watch your MSU Mavericks wrestle for the first time this year. I hope good things for them this year. It looks like we're going to have a pretty good team go throughout the year. I want to give a shout out especially to Dylan Herman, who is not only a great wrestler for the team, but is one of the most humble people I'll ever meet. I'm in a couple classes with them right now, so not to show off. Kind of a big deal. Just kidding. But, shout out to Dylan and all the other wrestlers out there. Good luck this season. Give them hell. Hope to see you guys bring a title back to the best D2 college in the state. Now, for my next segment, I love to call What's Cooking?
What the Rock is Cooking?
What's Cooking? It's top news in the 4 major sports. So, NBA, NHL, MLB, and NFL. You know, the 4 that, you know, everybody mainly cares about. If this was 2003, I would put WWE in here. I was a huge Rock fan back in the day, back in 2004, before he was making movies and everything. But I loved them all. The Rock, Stone Cold, The Undertaker, Kane, Triple H, all of them. It was a great era to watch wrestling, actually. Even though it was fake, you couldn't really tell. You go to bed thinking, wow, how do they do that? Like, how do they do some of those unimaginable things? Going off top rope, crashing tables. Hitting people with their car on occasion. Setting fires. Doing everything. Now you turn on the TV and it's the PG era. So you see, you go on TV right now, you just see people talking the whole time. You'd see the occasional street fight, but it's just not the same anymore. Plus I'm older and wiser, so now I know it's not fake. I know that sounds ridiculous to hear that now. I know it's not fake, but yeah, once the social media age came around, everything was spoiled for me as a kid. That's kind of a joke. I would have grown out of it at some point. I'm not fully grown out of it. I usually watch WrestleMania on occasion, but yeah, not as much as I used to. Anyway, let's start talking about the NBA and the NHL. Both sports just started their regular seasons within the last couple months. Both sports I love to play, especially hockey, because, Minnesota's a state of hockey. We are indeed a great state for hockey. Even though we don't have a Stanley Cup, we couldn't even have the North Star stick around, for God's sakes, which drives me nuts. Calling us the state of hockey kind of bothers me.
Obviously, I get the reason why we're called the state of hockey. We have one of the best draws for crowds for high school state tournament games. We have an abundance of players that came out of Minnesota that currently play in the NHL. But, I mean, did we really, create hockey? I mean, yes, it was brought over from Canada, but we didn't create hockey. We just kind of took it over. It was first invented in Canada by James Creighton. The first organized indoor game was played in Montreal, which was between two 9-player teams, including James Creighton and several McGill University students that's located in Canada. Later on, it was brought into New York, and then eventually it made over to Boston and Philadelphia. And it took actually a pretty long time, actually around the 1930s, 40s, until Minnesota really caught on as a real hockey state. So, yes, I do agree that we still should be named the state of hockey, but there's a couple asterisks aside to that name that still bother me to this day. Kind of a stupid argument to kind of argue about, because I know if I talk about it with other hockey enthusiasts, they'll be like, oh, you know, it's the state of hockey. And be like, well, hopefully we'll win Stanley Cup on top of that. So.
Wild. All I gotta say is, please don't burn us again this year. We're a state used to disappointment, but last season, it was just painful to watch you guys in the playoffs. Going into the playoffs, number 2 seed, playing what ended up being actually a pretty good team in the St. Louis Blues, who eventually lost to the eventual Stanley Cup contender in the Nashville Predators. But nevertheless, they left us very disappointed. Yeah, hopefully they turn around this year again. I know that's been kind of the theme on this show so far, is turning it around, making sure that they have a better year than last year. But that's basically the theme of Minnesota sports. Maybe next year, you know, maybe we'll turn around this year. Speaking of turning it around, let's go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. For the Timberwolves, they have the big three in Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler. The three will be the key to the Timberwolves' success moving forward for the next 5 to 7 years, I'd say. Depending on, because we have Andrew Wiggins locked down. Jimmy Butler, we're not sure if he'll be locked down yet, but pretty sure he'll be working on lockdown Karl-Anthony Towns for a really long time. I'm actually really excited about the NBA this season. Not only because the Timberwolves are expected to be relevant and break their long playoff drought, but also because of all the complete roster shakeups all around the league this year. And it looks like, at the moment, picking a team to win the title this year isn't as obvious as it usually is. The Warriors, still good, but Cleveland has been struggling. San Antonio isn't the same team as it once was. The Raptors are looking all right. We have the Thunder. That'll be coming to the picture this year with Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. The thing about the NBA this year is I feel like every team feels they need a big three on their team, which I can kind of understand from a marketing perspective. It definitely draws a crowd in. Definitely when you have Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Russell Westbrook on one team, you're definitely going to have people wanting to watch, seeing if they're successful. The only problem is there's only one ball in basketball. You have three players that are mainly scorers on the team. Paul George will dish it. Russell Westbrook will dish it when he has to. But all three would rather have the ball in their hands in the fourth quarter, leading their teams. And I feel like towards the end of the year, we'll be able to see that. I still feel like the Thunder will be a three seed going to the playoffs. But I just can't see them winning it all this year. Especially with an old Carmelo Anthony that he just hasn't been the same ever since he went to New York. It's been kind of disappointing to see. All I gotta say is I hope my Timber Pups do good this year. I hope they finally make that leap. I hope they come relevant in the league right now. Everything is flipping. This could definitely be the year where we surprise people. If I had to say a guess right now, I'd say my best guess would be the Wolves as a number 4 seed headed to the playoffs. Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, I know they're going to disappoint me. Whether it's, you know, getting totally swept in the first round, or they could do something even better and screw it up towards the end of the year and don't even make the playoffs at all. If we notice anything about Minnesota sports, it's that nothing comes easy, especially for building a title contender. It usually takes about a good 8 to 9 years to see one of our teams do really, really well going into the playoffs. You see it in the Vikings right now. You see 2009 was our last really big year. You could argue 2 years ago with Teddy taking us to the playoffs against Seattle, saying that was our year to, you know, make the big playoff push. But 2009 was the last year for them, saying they were true title contenders going into the year. Well, not going into the year, but like towards the end of the year, you could say, hey, they could be a team to beat. But right now, the Wild, Timberwolves, Vikings, Twins, all of them, they are what you'd say one of those teams that comes around every once in a while that you love to root for, but they won't do it every year. It looks like at the moment that I'd say the Warriors are going to stick it out this year. I couldn't even put a stamp on them facing the Cavaliers this year. I feel like the Celtics could be good, even though the injury to Gordon Hayward definitely hurts the team. But I don't know. Cavaliers have been struggling, losing to the Nets. Losing to a team like that is definitely critical to a big playoff push. So, yeah, so Timberwolves as a 4 seed. Mark it down. Hopefully I'm right, because I'd love to see my Timberwolves do well this year. So, let's go Timberwolves. Let's move on to the MLB. The MLB just got done with another World Series and another classic. Who thought that going into this World Series that they could actually top last year with the Cubs and Indians going to Game 7, with Cubs coming back from being down 3-1 and coming all the way back in the 10th inning in a rain delay and winning the World Series? Well, the Astros and the Dodgers made a really close one as the Astros won Game 7 the other night over the Dodgers 5-1 in a clean slate. But it wasn't Game 7 that was the most notable game of the series. It was actually Game 5 of the World Series. Houston facing the Dodgers at their home field. Having it look like a done deal in the ninth until the Dodgers scored 3 runs in the top of the ninth inning to tie the game apiece at, I believe at that point it was 12-12, I believe. Thanks to a base knock by Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros, they won a walk-off base knock to win in the bottom of the 10th inning to walk it off in one of the most captivating games I've ever witnessed watching the World Series. Especially in a game where there's 7 total home runs by each team, where one ball literally looked like it exploded when it was hit off the end of the baseball bat by George Springer, where he literally hit it, and once it hit the train tracks, it literally looked like it exploded because a firework went off at the same time as the ball went into the train tracks. It was really cool. Pure excitement the whole game. And this is from a guy who doesn't really typically watch a whole MLB game every time. I know I watch the Twins when I can. I usually watch between the 7th and 9th inning. Usually at the beginning of the game, I usually watch too, but then I kind of get bored because the innings get long. And I usually go off and do other things. But this was a game that I couldn't keep my eyes off of. And hopefully the MLB keeps cranking out games like this, because this is the best World Series game. Well, no, I'd say it's a tie between Game 5 of this year and Game 7 of last year, were two of the best MLB games I've ever witnessed in person. Well, no, not in person. On TV. My bad. But, yeah, hopefully the Twins make the big leap next year. They surprised everyone, made the wild card this year. Definitely a team to look on next year. Again, a critical theme. We'll do better next year. Paul Mahler got extended. That's a good thing. Paul Mahler has been one of the best managers this year, especially turning around a team that lost a total of 103 games all of last year. And turning that team into a playoff contender is amazing, especially with the rise of stars such as Jose Berrios, Max Kepler, Miguel Sano, who was on the shelf this year, but he turned it around. Yeah, and even Joe Mauer, he came back to his old self and hitting close to the 300 average this year. So, yeah, go Twins. Hopefully we make a couple good free agent pickups. Hopefully Irvin Santana keeps throwing the ball the best he can, and hopefully we can have a competitive year. Moving along to the NFL, or the No Fun League. The hometown Vikings are 6-2, which is a great record to have right now, considering they're now top of the division, and Aaron Rodgers is out of the picture for some time. Yay. Questions around the whole team, though, which keep holding me back from saying this team is a title contender. There's questions at the QB spot, whether it looks as if Teddy Bridgewater may get a chance in Week 10 to face the Redskins. Case Keenum, who's been a great surprise for the Vikings this year, after taking over for Sam Bradford after he had his knee injury. Sam Bradford, in the first week of the year, looked like an MVP-type quarterback, and then surprised everybody and letting people know that he actually had a pretty serious knee injury that we're now finding out about. Case Keenum, he has been a solid starter ever since taking over. He's had 5 wins, leading the team to a current 4-1 streak going into the bye this week. And now it's about to get interesting. We're about to see if Teddy Bridgewater still has got it after being out for over 400 days. Hopefully we can get this settled, because this is a really good team. One of the top 5 defenses in the NFL. Led by players such as Linval Joseph, Harrison Smith, Terrence Newman, Anthony Barr, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter. It's just a solid defense all around. So to say this team is a Super Bowl contender, I want to say it with a passion because we have a good offense with MSU alum Adam Thielen, with quick wide receivers Stephon Diggs. Solid on both sides of the ball, but I just can't say that it's a Super Bowl contender yet.
Predictions for the rest of the season?
I believe Teddy will get the shot at starting next week. I think actually he'll get the start at Washington. Depending on how he looks in practice, I believe he'll look at least somewhat decent. I believe he can still sling the ball. There's been rumors going around that he's been getting a lot stronger throughout his rehab. There's been talks that he'll throw the ball a lot better this year if given the chance to. So we'll see. If he gets the start, don't expect that he'll go slinging it the whole game. I believe he will get a couple shots to Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen here and then. But we're just going to have to see. Predictions to West Virginia. We have enough talent around us to defeat our next two opponents, I believe, in the Washington Redskins and the LA Rams. Rams are definitely a difficult team to beat, but I still believe we'll provide enough pressure on Jared Goff to steal this one and go 8-2. Then the next two games, we face the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons. Unfortunately, I think we'll struggle against both teams. I think we'll lose to the Lions on Thanksgiving. And I believe we'll also lose to the Falcons at their home, the new Georgia Dome, I like to call it. So at this point, we'll be 8-4. And I believe then our next two opponents, Carolina and Mike Zimmer's former team, the Cincinnati Bengals, will lose to us. So I'd say we comfortably beat them by a touchdown in both games. So 10-4 at this point, going into Lambeau Field, Green Bay, week 16. Hopefully we don't see him, but if we do, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, which could be a division-deciding game. I really hope it's not. I hope that towards the end of the year, Aaron Rodgers is still on IR. But if he is, unfortunately, I'd say we lose this one. Green Bay is a very tough team to beat at Lambeau. In years past, Green Bay has had our number at Lambeau. But if they don't have him, I'd say we wouldn't come to me again against them. I'd say 27-14 if we face them without Aaron Rodgers. And then we go on to Lambeau, and I'd say we defeat the Bears to close out the year at home. So you heard it here. I'd say 11-5 or 12-4 is what our record will be, and I believe we'll be a number 2 seed going into the playoffs. Next segment, got the trade deadline that just ended for the NFL. One of the craziest trade deadlines that I've ever witnessed, ever. And it's really exciting for the game. You got players. Here's the list. So you got Jay Ajayi going to the Eagles, Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers, tackle for the Texans, Dwayne Brown going to the Seahawks, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver for the Panthers to the Bills, and then Marcell Dareus from the Buffalo Bills to the Jaguars. I feel the best move out of all of these is Jay Ajayi, part of the Dolphins, who struggled last week against the Baltimore Ravens, not even scoring a point for the Dolphins last week, losing 44-0 on Thursday Night Football. I feel Adam Gase with this move is trying to send a message to the locker room saying, stay on your toes, team, score some damn points, especially with a team that has struggled with keeping their quarterbacks healthy in Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler, and now with Matt Moore at quarterback. With this move, with the Eagles, who are doing really well this year, I believe this move says we're going to win the Super Bowl, and we're going for it this year. And they have the tools to do it, with Carson Wentz rising as a quarterback with a really solid defense all around. I feel that with the move of Jay Ajayi, I feel like they have that extra element to the offense. The head coach, Coach Peterson, came out today and said LeGarrette Blount is supposed to start next game, and we'll see when Jay Ajayi gets his chance, because they wouldn't make a move like that just to put him on the bench, you know? And many people believe that they actually stole him from the Dolphins, only
only giving up a fourth round pick to pick up Jay Ajayi. Definitely an explosive player to have on your offense. So we'll see how this move affects them moving forward. Next topic to talk about is the injuries to quarterbacks recently. Two of the best upcoming quarterbacks in the league, and Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck, have unfortunately been shelved for the rest of the year. Houston, tough break. Definitely feel your pain, especially with us experiencing what we had last year in Teddy Bridgewater, where he looked great after the San Diego, San Diego Chargers, yep. So, coming out of that game where he had one of the best games he's ever performed. Again, a preseason game, but looked rock solid going into the regular season. And then seeing him practice and having great chemistry with the team and training camp and everything like that, and all of a sudden getting hurt going into the regular season, just absolutely killed us. Even though we had Sam Bradford, even though we had a rock solid defense, that just killed us as a team. So send your prayers to Deshaun Watson. I don't know how Houston will go the rest of the way this year. They're definitely a playoff caliber team. Definitely the two biggest injuries, losing Deshaun Watson for the year on offense, J.J. Watt on defense, is definitely going to affect this team moving forward. It's just a huge loss for them. I still believe that they'll make the playoffs, especially in that division where Jacksonville, they're doing good but inconsistent. Same thing for the Titans, inconsistent. And with the Colts losing out on their franchise quarterback and Andrew Luck being shelved for the rest of the year. The Colts being in rebuilding mode, trying to get a top pick in the draft to help build around Andrew Luck, which is the reason why I believe they shelved him for the rest of the year, coming out that shoulder surgery, that which usually takes 9 months to 12 months to heal out of the year. But yeah, just a tough break for both those teams, losing franchise quarterbacks and losing two of the best quarterbacks coming up in the league. So hopefully they can come back from that. Hopefully we see good football coming out of both those teams moving forward, because those teams are usually head-to-head going into those divisions. So last topic for NFL anyway, I did my own top 10 power rankings for the week.
Top 10.
On a weekly basis, I'll be updating my power rankings going up to every week in the NFL. Yeah, so I'll start at number 10. I have the Houston Texans at number 10. I would have them at number 7 or 8, but the loss of Deshaun Watson, loss of J.J. Watt, I believe absolutely puts a knock on this team. I believe we'll see it with Tom Savage going in at quarterback, that they won't be able to score points, and I believe that'll cost this team games. And it'll kill the team, and it's just unfortunate. Coming in at number 9, we got the LA Rams. Definitely one of the most improved teams in the year. Jared Goff, with people writing him off last year as a first pick bust, is looking a lot better this year. And handing the ball off to Todd Gurley with a rock solid defense led by Aaron Donald will be a tough team moving forward. I see playoffs in this team's future. Coming in at number 8 is the New Orleans Saints, who the Vikings beat week 1, and ever since then has actually looked like one of the best teams in the NFL. Beginning of the year, they had a pretty bad backfield, and Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, and our former running back, Adrian Peterson. But since they gave Adrian Peterson to the Arizona Cardinals, they've had that great balance in Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, and they've been very explosive, and ever since then, they've been on a 5-win winning streak and looking hot. Hopefully they keep going that route and going on to the playoffs. But, side note, screw you, Saints. Bounty Gate, still hate you. 2009 killed me as a kid, and I will never forget that game. I actually wanted to throw my TV away after that game. Oh well. Anyway, so Dallas Cowboys coming in at number 7. with news coming in just today that Ezekiel Elliott again is playing for the Dallas Cowboys, which is just makes a guy shake their head, because with him being suspended and unsuspended and suspended and unsuspended, you know, the old term in The Office, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. Unfortunate for many people who want to see this man suspended. Now, if he wants to get suspended 6 games, he's going to have to miss the rest of the year and beyond. Very, very weird situation. They were supposed to suspend him a couple weeks back, but then the judge was on vacation and couldn't rule him for that week. So, and then this last Monday, it came down that he is now suspended, but now there's now a grand injunction that just came in that he can now play, which is beyond me. So number 7 is Dallas Cowboys. Number 6, your Minnesota Vikings.
Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol Vikings, honor your name.
Rock solid defense, pretty good offense, led by Case Keenum. Got the bye this week. We'll have Washington next week. Hopefully no more injuries. Hopefully Teddy Bridgewater, we can see, come back and perform the way he used to. Number 6, a good spot for them. I wouldn't put them in front of the next 5 teams. I just can't, because we haven't seen the teams that they've faced. Yeah, Minnesota Vikings are number 6. Hopefully that I can have the guts to put them at number 3, number 2, number 1.
Number 5 on this list is the Seattle Seahawks. I love to hate this team for many reasons. I love the quarterback, Russell Wilson. He's one of the best QBs in the league. I hate Richard Sherman, not because of his ball skills, but the way he runs his mouth on occasion. I like Pete Carroll. I like the fan base he's built there and the foundation he's set for the Seattle Seahawks. I hate that we lost them in 2015 to a Blair Walsh missed field goal. Which brings me to another reason to hate the Seattle Seahawks. I hate that Blair Walsh is now on their team. It's just one of those things where, like, okay, so you missed a field goal for them in order to join them. You know? I don't know. Blair Walsh, if you ever stumble upon this podcast, all I gotta say is I hate for what you did back in 2015. If we made that field goal right there and then, who knows what would have happened at that point in our year. We would have faced the Arizona Cardinals and maybe had a chance to go in the playoffs. We'll never know anymore. But, yeah, the Seattle Seahawks, one of the best teams in the NFL. They just acquired Dwayne Brown at the trade deadline. They are looking pretty solid on both sides of the ball after scoring 45 points against the Houston Texans last week. Russell Wilson is firing the ball on all cylinders. And their defense is looking, except for last week, I'd say, against Deshaun Watson, they're looking good on both sides of the ball. So, Seattle Seahawks at number 5. Coming in at number 4 is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs started out the year undefeated. Ever since then, they've struggled a little bit. Coming off a win against the Denver Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs are looking to keep going with their winning ways, as they're still on top of the division. Alex Smith is still playing perfect. He hasn't thrown a pick all year yet, which is very surprising, knowing Alex Smith, because usually he commits a turnover on occasion. And also the emergence of new rookie running back Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, who was a third-round running back drafted by the team out of Toledo, is the leader in rushing yards this year in the NFL. So with the combination of Kareem Hunt, Alex Smith, and a really good defense for the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs are a force to be reckoned with in the AFC. So Kansas City Chiefs at number 4. Number 3, a team, again, the Vikings have faced at the beginning of the year, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell is leading the team in rushing yards. No surprise. Big Ben, expecting to retire after this year, is
you know, he's still there. He's still holding as a placeholder for whoever the QB should be next year if he retires. He's coming off a game a couple weeks ago where he threw 5 interceptions, and ever since then it seems like he's doing fine. So we'll see the rest of the way going. It looks like a playoff team. So Pittsburgh Steelers are number 3. Number two. New England Patriots, led by Tom Brady again. These aren't the same old Patriots, but they're doing the same job that they always do, winning games when they're needed most. They do a combination of things. They play offense, they play defense, they run the ball, they pass the ball. It's all Bill Belichick's game up in New England. So New England Patriots are number 2. Number one, the most surprising team, in my opinion, on the year, the Philadelphia Eagles, led by Carson Wentz, the North Dakota product. Carson Wentz has been unbelievable this year, actually posting MVP-type numbers, throwing multiple multi-touchdown games throughout the year, and he is looking like an NFL superstar. And anybody that faces this team, look out, because they can play ball. They can play defense. Carson Wentz can flip it to Nelson Agholor. He can flip it to LeGarrette Blount and now Jay Ajayi. So look out for the Philadelphia Eagles, the dark horse to win the Super Bowl. And that's my power rankings. And that's all I have for the NFL. I want to talk briefly now about a club I'm in on campus called Sports Management Association. So, Sports Management Association.
Is that a thing where you just go to play sports?
No, actually. While we do play intramural sports on occasion, we just got done playing intramural softball. We do things such as go to meetings, we go to internship fairs, we go to baseball games, we tour football facilities, baseball facilities. It's one of the fastest growing clubs on campus here at Minnesota State University. Me personally, I'm both a sports management major and a marketing major here at Minnesota State University. So I'm a part of the marketing club and the Sports Management Association. And I can definitely tell you, Sports Management Association is one of my most exciting days of the week. We meet every Wednesday here at the Minnesota State University campus, have weekly meetings at 8 o'clock in Morris Hall. So if anybody listening to this is interested, please contact me or the president of SMA, Kiera Williams. We will gladly help you out and lead you on your way to Sports Management Association. So, yeah, go SMA. It's really cool. Well, we're just about running time on the show. So all I got to say is hope you guys have a good rest of your day. I hope to see you next weekend on the Weekly Brew. All I gotta say is, I hope you guys kick back. And I hope you drink the brew that's great for you. Have a good day.